Timmies and Spikes, we must all arrive at the win condition.
Isn't this oppressive? Isn't this just like terrible? And I'm like, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Why you gotta bring up the past, man? Why?
Because I'm just gonna pour salt in this wound.
Over the course of Magic's history, Minotaur tribal is never really the strongest thing.
There's no crying in Magic.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Win Condition Podcast. My name is Sean. I'm your host. I'm joined by my co-host, Owen. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
I am fantastic. How could I not be? We are in the throes of Amon Khet. It is release weekend. I am excited. I'll tell you what, I actually was able to get out for my first draft in a very long time last night, and I'm very, very pleasantly surprised with this limited environment. And I hear you were able to make it out to a couple pre-releases, Owen.
I sure did last weekend. This set is awesome. This set is so fun.
It's a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's nice. I mean, it's so different. I mean, Aether Revolt, I mean, God bless it, was just kind of boring. And this is just totally different. It's awesome.
It's a little weird to not consider energy as a factor anymore. It was so huge and so many important cards in that set. But, now we're dealing with Exert, Embalm, and the like. So, very, very different strategies. And I'll be the first to say, I am by no stretch a drafting expert. In fact, I'm quite bad. I've a pretty bad track record with it. My sealed track record is a little bit better, but I definitely gave it a shot. And when we dive into it, I'll explain just how horrible it was.
Oh,
the deck.
No.
The experience was good, but the deck itself.
Yeah, I want to hear what you did. I want to hear how you did.
Okay. All right. Well, let's jump right into it. So I have been operating in a draft environment under the idea of the acronym of BREAD. Are you familiar with the acronym BREAD, Owen?
I am, but why don't you share it again for our listeners?
Okay. Well, BREAD is an acronym. The B is the primary letter, most important, and it stands for bombs. So if you open up a pack or get past a bomb card, which essentially is a card that when you play it will swing the game in your favor so much so that it is going to be very, very hard for your opponent to win. It could bring you back from behind. It could just pull you ahead at parity, or it could just completely shut them down when you're ahead of the game. But essentially, it's a card that if you get it out, you are more than likely going to win the game. Some examples for bombs in this set would be a card like Glorybringer. I would consider Glorybringer to be a bomb.
It is absolutely a bomb.
Did you run into any bombs in your pre-release that you could?
I did. I ran into a deck that had a Glorybringer in it, and it was unstoppable.
Ouch.
There was another card in there too. I'm trying to remember what. I think they had a Planeswalker too, one of the Planeswalkers.
Oh,
it was just ridiculous. Yeah, that Glorybringer, I mean, we talked about it a few weeks ago, but that card is just a mess to deal with. It is just value up and down.
It really is, and I'm standing by my financial call that I made a while ago. We did have the opportunity to pick them up at $1.50, and I haven't actually checked recently, but it has been steadily rising by about 50 cents every couple of days, and it go ahead.
No, I'm saying I'm pulling up the price. I'm pulling it up. I need to know. Oh, I need to
perfect.
Know.
Yeah, no, because just the 4/4 haste in the air for 5 mana is huge. And the fact that you can exert it and just blow up an opponent's creature is so good. It's just one of those cards that as soon as it hits the table, it demands immediate attention or it will just take over the game and win it.
$5.
$5. Straight up.
$5. And 4 days ago, it was $10.
Wait, a regular Glorybringer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, we're not even talking about the foils. Holy
no, God. We are not. This card is for real, man. Let me check TCG player just to make sure.
Sure, and just to pull back the curtain a little bit, I actually pre-ordered 3 foil Glory Bringers at $5 a piece, and so I'm very interested to see what this this does to Standard and how those. I'm hoping to flip them around the time of the Pro Tour for some good value and maybe get some other necessary cards. And I'm still waiting on my 2 boxes and bundle to show up at my doorstep. I'm very excited about that.
Nice.
And later on in the cast, we have a treat for you. I have an unopened, sealed, pre-release pack here that I picked up last night at the draft. So we will open that, and we will build a deck for you all right here.
Sounds awesome.
On the win condition.
On the win condition. So on TCG Player, this thing is saying it's like $7.13. This is crazy. This card is for real.
It's nuts. Yeah. I mean, it's the definition of a bomb. And especially in Constructed, you get a couple of these or even 4 of, and they're just very, very, very hard to stop. So we
what bomb did you have in your deck?
In my deck, the bombs were absent. Unfortunately, I would say and so it begins. The bombiest card that I got, it actually did some good work, but it wasn't enough to overcome the bombs that I was facing. But the bomb I got was Merciless Javelineer. It's the 4/2 Minotaur for a black, red, and 2 that says tap 2, discard a card, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. That creature can't block this turn. And I darn near took down a Glory Bringer just by activating this guy's abilities. One of the good things about facing creatures with Exert is you do get a turn off. So if they do attack and Exert, you can expect to have a free turn where they're not going to be coming at you, which gives you a little bit of time to whittle it away, especially with so many -1/-1 counters. So there is a slight downside to Exert. But overall, that being my bomb, it was pretty tough. So
awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I actually, you know, I did pull a Nest of Scarabs as well. And while those two seem to combo very nicely together, unfortunately, I never found the opportunity to really take advantage of that. So, my first pick actually segues us into the R of the acronym BRED. R stands for removal. And removal is absolutely key in Limited, because if you can get rid of your opponent's bomb, then you are definitely doing it. You're going to be able to stay alive a lot longer. And if you have enough decent removal, that can actually help you take over the game. So my first pick that I got out of a pack was a foil Cut to Ribbons. And interestingly enough, there was a regular Cut to Ribbons in the same pack. So I pulled the foil Cut to Ribbons, and then unfortunately had to pass another one to the person to my left. And upon seeing that, he probably jumped into red and black as well. But I was a little bit... I believe this is where my Aether Revolt experience sort of dilutes my Amon Khet experience with drafting, because 4 damage to target creature on the cut side is pretty significant, but 4 damage doesn't kill everything and definitely doesn't handle any kind of indestructible gods like Ronus or Hazoret or some of the other ones that I saw at the draft. And the ribbons in Limited, you're looking to maybe do about 4 to 5 damage at most as sort of a finisher. But I would see it being a big, strong player in Constructed. But Cut to Ribbons is pretty good removal. Removal definitely a very strong proponent in building your deck while drafting. What removal have you been able to take advantage of, Owen?
You know what was, and I'm trying to remember what it's called now. It's the Agony one or whatever that puts 2 -1 counters.
Oh yeah,
you know that was a pretty good one. I like the Electrify has gotten me out of a few situations. Though it is expensive, but the four damage is pretty serious.
Four damage is significant. That will take down a Glorybringer, indeed. That'll definitely do work.
There was another one that I pulled, which was great, and actually got me out of a bind too. Also expensive and rare, but the Sweltering Suns.
I hate that card. I had that played on, and I just died. It was. I mean, these sweepers that do three damage, especially in limited, they're essentially like a board wipe, you know, and it's just, it's rough. It's really,
rough. It's a mess. I love playing it. I don't love playing against it.
No, absolutely. And also falling into the, because you did pull a fair number of Hepatras during the pre-release. Is that correct?
So I did. I pulled two of them, and then I traded a card for a third one.
Oh, man. All the Hepatras,
which are going very well with my Vizier of the Menagerie and Prowling Serpipard and Sandworm Convergence. If you want to talk about a bomb.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Convergence.
I actually drafted Sandworm Convergence pack 2 pick 1 because I felt like it was strong enough to maybe pull me into green. I was already going black and red, but I just didn't see enough good green stuff. It was actually taken before it got to me, but that card is definitely, it's almost even worth splashing because of the potential 5/5 tokens that you'll be getting every turn and the fact that nothing with flying can attack you, like a Glorybringer, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, definitely.
If you get to play that card, particularly in a limited format, you win the game. Like, it's over right away.
Right, and like I was saying, with cut, 4 damage will not take down the sandworms that get popped out at 5/5. It's not going to happen.
There's not enough removal anywhere to take care of an opponent playing a 5/5 every turn for free.
This is true. This is very, very true. Especially seeing as that enchantment is what you would need to get rid of, and nobody main decks enchantment removal. In fact, I don't even remember seeing a card come my way. Maybe that was because I was staying out of white, but enchantment removal is very sparse. So that Sandworm Convergence then just bomb to the nth degree there.
Bomb to the bomb.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject of removal, I did pull a couple flings. Now, I had mixed feelings about fling because you're already, unless you're going supremely wide with like 1/1 tokens and stuff, fling will make you sacrifice a creature. So it is good to either finish off your opponent or take down a large threat that you can't otherwise handle. My best turn with this deck, it was actually the last match of the day, and my opponent had played, he had a one of those hyenas, the what is it, a 3/4 out, and then he also played the 7/7 vanilla worm, which I believe has cycling too, but so he had the 7/7.
It does.
Yes, and he had attacked with that other creature. And on my board, I had a Emberhorn Minotaur, which is the 4/3 that you can exert to give it +1/+1 and gain menace till end of turn. So I had the mana to cast... Where is it? Here it is. Limits of Solidarity. Gain control of target creature till end of turn. Untap it, it gains haste, blah, blah, blah. So I gained control of his 7/7... worm, and then I attacked him with the worm and with the exerted Minotaur, and then I cast fling to sacrifice the worm at his face. I dealt 19 damage to him in one turn,
and epic,
and he still won. I could not push it over the hump to finish the job, but yeah, that was by far the most fun I had. So, you know, like I said, it's a fun deck to play, but it doesn't get over the hump and win. So,
well, let's talk about why you didn't win after 19.
Yeah.
let's talk about this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because after drafting the deck, I wasn't even thinking about it, but I went black red, and after I was done and I was putting this deck together, I literally was looking at Minotaur Tribal, and my gut told me this is not going to work, because generally speaking, over the course of Magic's history, Minotaur Tribal is never really the strongest thing.
That is the quote of the cast today.
Yeah, right, exactly. Dating all the way back to Herloon Minotaur from Revised, a 2/3 for 3 vanilla. You just look at it and you go, I should be doing better than this. I did get a Flameblade Adept, which was really fun. The 1/2 for 1 red mana, Jackal Warrior with Menace. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, Flameblade Adept gets +1/+0 till end of turn. And that was actually the target of a lot of hate from my opponents. I think they were afraid I would get pretty explosive with this guy. Little did they know that would never happen. But the other Minotaur that I really enjoyed playing with and would like to kind of pursue, maybe even building a deck around, is War Fire Javelineer. It's a 2/3 Minotaur for 3 and a red. When it enters the battlefield, deals X damage to target creature and opponent controls, where X is the number of instants and sorcery cards in your graveyard. So I was casting Magma Spray, I was casting Cut, Fling, I was cycling Pursue Glory, and this guy would come down and do 3 or 4 damage to any creature my opponent controls as he entered the battlefield, which was pretty cool, especially in Limited. Don't know if he's strong enough to go Constructed, but he was one of the Minotaurs that actually did impress me a little bit, so that was pretty fun.
Good, good. When you just can't help but make a Tribal Minotaur deck.
Yeah, exactly. And this stupid, pitiless Vizier, this guy is like pitiful. Like, he's a 4/2 for a black and 3. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, he gains indestructible until end of turn. So a 4/2 indestructible till end of turn at the cost of, well, I guess cycling isn't really costing you a card because you get to replace it, but it was just too much work to save this guy. And at 4/2, he's just, I didn't really see too much good come about him. But anyway, so we got hung up on R for removal.
Yeah.
Moving on to E, which stands for actually two things. It stands for evasion, and it stands for efficient spells. So evasion refers to flying, unblockable, or even trample.
Menace,
there you go.
Like that other Minotaur.
Other Minotaur, yeah. Or I think there was a card around there that said, cannot be, if you have a creature, like target creature with power 2 or less gains, unblockable till end of turn, which right. is kind of like half evasion. But and then on the other side, you have efficient spells, which are like 1, 2, and 3 drops that will do something to further your board state or handle something your opponent has. But at the 2 and 3 drop spot or the 1 spot, these are spells that you will more than likely be able to cast on curve relatively easily. You just don't want to get stuck with a 6 or 7 drop in your hand that you'll never play because you die too soon. So, efficient spell. I'm trying to think of an example that I had in my deck. Let's see here. Oh, okay. So since there's a lot of cycling, I did pack a, Scarab Feast. For 1 black, exile up to 3 target cards from a single graveyard, and it has cycling for a black. So with all this embalm and aftermath floating around, there's a lot of dangerous cards that will sit in the graveyard until their opponent can activate them or cast them. So this on the top end can just remove up to 3 of those cards, so you won't have to worry about them moving forward. Or if it's not really working for you, you pay black, you discard it, you cycle, you draw another card. So a good efficient spell to throw into a deck to fill some space. So that would be the E category. Can you think of any efficient spells or evasion creatures?
Well, to be honest with you, this is actually the first time I heard about the E being for efficient spells. I've always heard it as just evasion. But, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You don't have a lot of time to get to a high curve in limited. So it's usually very good to keep your curve very low, which usually ends up in much more of an aggro strategy than almost anything else. But in a bit, I have a story about something I did that wasn't like that before. But that Minotaur is just great. That is a super cheap creature that has menace on it. And it's very often that your opponent will be able to stop it. What is it called? I'm trying to find it right here as we're talking about it. It's
was it black, or was it, if it was black or red?
Oh, the cursed Minotaur.
Cursed. Oh, it's black. Yes. The zombie Minotaur. Okay.
Yeah, the 3/2 menace for 3/2 and a black. Really, really, really great card.
Yeah. Anything with menace seems to just be super effective. And one thing I've noticed with both forms of limited, draft and sealed, draft definitely moves a lot faster, as you can sort of sculpt your deck to run efficiently on color and on curve. Whereas with sealed, it's a little bit more, you get what you get and you build accordingly. So you might not necessarily have as streamlined of a deck, but I have found when you play sealed, if you include more beefy creatures that will stick around for a longer time, that tends to be more effective than playing couple one or two or, aggressive creatures that can get removed easily or blocked easily or something like that. Now, that being said, if you did open a sealed pull that is just completely aggressive, go for it, but I'm just saying from my experience, I find that with a little bit of removal and some bigger creatures, that seems to be a good recipe for success in sealed. So another efficient creature that I got that I had some fun with was Bloodlust Inciter. It's a 1/1 human warrior for 1 red. You can tap him, target creature gains haste until end of turn. And he worked really well with my Nephcrop Entangler, which was 1 red for a 2/1 human warrior with trample. And you may exert Nephcrop Entangler as it attacks. When you do, it gets +1/+2 until end of turn, effectively becoming a 3/3. So dropping Bloodlust Inciter on turn 1, and then turn 2, you play Nephcrop Entangler, give him haste and swing with a 3/3 on turn 2. Can usually get in for some, easy damage in the very beginning. Obviously, he's exerted, so he won't untap the next turn, but, cards that have little fun interactions with each other. That's E. And A, in the acronym of BRED, stands for aggro or aggressive. And again, kind of runs along the lines of efficiency. So if you have, creatures that cost you 1 or 2, or removal spells that'll cost you 1 or 2, those are generally pretty good. They're playable. They might not get you there, so to speak, but definitely playable and can help form a plan for the good.
Excuse me.
That's okay. I guess moving right along to D, you could say defense,
No, I thought it stood for duds. This is just exactly what it stands for. It's just that's the final stuff that you take to just fill out your deck that no one ever wanted.
Yeah, so D stands for duds, dregs, or defense. So like just here in front of me, this actually could fall under efficient, but the Dune Beetle for 1 and a black, it's a 1/4 insect. Vanilla. That's it. Not too exciting, but somewhat playable. Blocks some aggressive creatures, but
it's very good. It's very good if you find yourself in the black blue cycling archetype.
That's true. That's very true.
Because that one takes a while to get going, and it'll help. It's got a big butt.
It does have a big butt. And I had this with a black cartouche on it, which gives it +1/+1 and lifelink. And so he was essentially hitting me for 2, and I couldn't block this guy because, my little creatures were going to die. So he just gained a ton of life. At the end of the game, I had him down to 13, but I think I probably did close to 20 damage to him, but this thing just did so much work. So anyway, That is bread. So bombs, removal, evasion efficiency, aggro, aggressive, and duds. Dregs.
Duds.
Don't draft this card.
Right, right. Well, don't first pick it.
Right, yeah. So, I went 0-3 last night, and it was, like I said, it was a fun experience. I learned a lot, but I definitely have a different mindset about how to draft Amonkhet for the next time I participate in a draft.
I want to hear about this game where you dealt 19 damage but still didn't get it done. Like, what were you up against?
It was a green and a red deck. So he wasn't really playing much the first couple of turns. He did have just a small, slight couple pieces of removal. And I think it was a hand that I kept that was a sort of suboptimal. That's another area I could improve upon, is choosing to keep the correct hands. But I think I had a fair bit of mana. I think I was holding the fling in my opening hand, and what else was there? It was like a Warfire Javelineer or something, so a 4-drop. So not exactly the most aggressive hand, but I had my mana, and I was getting mana screwed in previous games. So I just kind of went with it, and we started playing, and I don't think I had anything effective hit the board until turn 3. And by that time, it was his play. This is game 3, and I was on the draw. So on his turn 4, he dropped one of those hyenas, which has a 4 toughness, and I wasn't able to get rid of it. So we just kind of started playing creatures at a bit of a stalemate, and I was able to use cut. I was able to use another one of those Javelineer Minotaurs to take out another one of his creatures. But it was kind of back and forth, and he was steadily playing more creatures than I was. And I think it got to the point where he had me down to like 6 or 7. And I was able to pull this off where I had my Minotaur out, took control of his guy. My guy had Menace, but he didn't actually have anything to block with, so it just swung in freely. Minotaur, Worm, flung the Worm at him, and he was just sitting there like, what just happened? And I didn't have any damage in my hand, and then I just passed the turn back to him. He untapped his guy, and I forget how he finished me off. He either played something to buff his guy and give it +3/+1 and trample. I forget what that card's name is, but he sealed the deal after that, and I was, it was tough. But it was very fun. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the important part.
Yeah. When you almost get there, you know, moral victories are only so good.
or non-existent.
Or non-existent. Yeah.
There's no crying in Magic.
No. No one wants to hear bad beat stories. So.
Oh, no, I'm all about a bad beat story. But, you know, it's
funny you mentioned that. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh,
yep. I got one of those. I had some fun. I'll go quickly. But so after I was done with the draft, we were waiting for the last pair to finish, and the guy who I had finished playing mentioned he plays Commander, and I had some Commander decks with me, and I said, do you want to play a quick game? And he goes, sure. So we pull out our cards, and this guy sees us, and he goes, oh, are you playing Commander? Oh, and he runs over and he grabs his deck, and I'm like, oh, 3-way, this could take a while. Okay. And I don't know if you recall my story from the previous time I played Commander at an FNM, but this guy comes and he sits down, pulls his deck out, throws his Commander on the table, and it is none other than your favorite.
Atraxa?
Atraxa, yes.
Yes.
Not only Atraxa, but it was Atraxa Super Friends. Yay. Shoot me now. So, anyway, he draws his hand, and on turn 3, is able to play Doubling Season. And on turn 4, he's able to play Narset Transcendent and ultimates her. And I don't know if you're familiar, but Narset's ultimate says, opponents, you get an emblem that says opponents cannot cast non-creature spells. So,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep. I'm sitting there, and granted, I have some creatures, whatever. And then he goes, Atraxa. And he just kind of camps out behind there, blocks stuff, gains life. Then he plays, and I have Samut as my commander. And I was swinging in, trying to beat his face. And I got him down to like, I got like 12 commander damage in on him. And then he plays a Johnny and ultimates him. And this is the one where his ultimate states, if a source an opponent controls would deal damage to you or a creature you control, that damage becomes one. So I'm trying to swing in and do some damage. He's blocking with Atraxa, gaining a ton of life. And I scooped. I wasn't about to sit there and keep going and going. And he's just sitting there like, isn't this oppressive? Isn't this just like terrible? And I'm like, yeah.
Yes, it is. This is the worst.
Ever again. Yeah, go leave. But anyway. So oh, well. that's my Commander Bad Beat story. And
good.
So
well, let's get back to Sealed. let's get back into the safety of Sealed. Yes.
Okay, so do we wanna dive into this?
Sure, let's do it. All right.
So I have here, and I'm currently opening an Amon Khet pre-release pack. I was a little sad that I wasn't able to make the pre-release because, like I say, I definitely prefer Sealed over draft. But this is definitely rather interesting here. Now, you've seen one of these boxes before, Owen, playing at the pre-release, correct?
I sure have. They're super cool. They're like bricks, and they like the little card pocket like comes out or something, right? It like moves forward.
Oh, this is nice. Okay, so I have a translucent blue 20-sided die here. Welcome, initiate. Uh-oh. I'm going to have to take some trials here. I love how all the cartouches are all over the box. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I also love how cartouche is going to be a significant word in our vocabulary for the next several months.
Yeah, right? Okay, so my promo card is Dispossess. So it's one black and two for a sorcery. It says choose an artifact card name. Search target opponent's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of cards with the chosen name and exile them. Then that player shuffles his or her library. So lobotomy for artifacts.
All right.
Interesting.
A sideboard card at best.
Absolutely. Yes. Sounds like a card that would have been great with the Aether Revolt, but
alas.
But alas. Okay. So I'm just going to go ahead and blast through the commons here. And if you hear anything that sort of sparks your interest, give me a shout. But okay, so we've got a Winged Shepherd, an angel here, flying 3/3. Illusionary Wrappings for blue. Enchanted creature has base power and toughness 0/2. Pathmaker Initiate, target creature with power 2 or less can't be blocked. Mighty Leap, target creature gets +2/+2 and gains flying. Unburdened, target player discards 2 cards, cycling 2. Shed Weakness, 1 green, target creature gets +2/+2 down the turn. You may remove a 1/1 counter from it. Winds of Rebuke, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Each player puts the top 2 cards of the library into their graveyard. Binding Mummy, whenever another zombie enters the battlefield under your control, you may tap target artifact or creature. That was actually pretty decent in a deck that I played against, with the embalm and with zombies and stuff. Being able to tap and control your opponent's creatures is pretty effective. Dissenter's Deliverance, destroy target artifact with cycling. Cartouche of Strength.
Cartouche!
Yes, you have enchanted creature, fight target creature opponent controls, gives it +1/+1. Awesome. Okay, so uncommons. We have Bantu's Monument. Pretty good here. Black creature spells cost 1 less. Whenever you cast a creature spell, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain a life.
I will tell you, those monuments are super solid cards. Yeah, so I had the blue one in one of my matches, and it basically just keeps a guy tapped down every time you play a creature. It's crazy, these things. You definitely want these monuments.
Yeah, no, that definitely sounds really good. And the fact that Bantu's Monument says whenever you cast a creature spell, each opponent loses a life and you gain a life. That sounds like, especially in limited, that could keep you alive for quite a long time.
For quite a while. Yeah. And you're going to be playing a lot of creatures in black, too.
Right. Okay, so pretty good. We have Exemplar of Strength. It's a 4/4 for one and a green human warrior. When Exemplar of Strength enters the battlefield, put 3 -1/-1 counters on target creature you control. Whenever Exemplar of Strength attacks, remove a 1/-1 -1 counter from it. If you do, you gain 1 life. I saw this card in the previous season, and it seems like a card that you just want to put the -1 counters on a different creature and get yourself a 4/4 for 2. It sounds sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have Exemplar of Strength. Here it is, Oketra's Monument. White creature spells cost 1 less. Whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 1/1 white warrior creature token with vigilance. I love this card. This card will more than likely end up being in this deck. So then we have our rare is Mouth to Feed. Mouth is green and 2, create a 3/3 green hippo creature token. And Feed is green and 3, draw a card for each creature you control with power 3 or greater. So we have a token creator, and then you get to draw a card for it. Interesting.
Pretty solid. Tokens are a real thing in this set.
Yeah, and then we have the Swamp Bolas Full Art Land. Very nice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah, I actually got a shiny one of those last night, too. I was super excited. Okay, so that's pack one. Let's get through this relatively quickly. I did get to see Archfiend of Ifnir in action, too, and that was pretty devastating to watch. I really
that was a mess.
Yes, I really, really hope I get one of those guys. Okay, so Minotaur Sure Shot. 2/3 for a red and 2 with reach, and it gets +1/+0 for like double fire breathing. Jeru's Resolve. For 1 white untapped target creature, prevent all damage will be dealt its turn, cycling 2. Nimble Blade Kenra. 1/3 for 1 and a red. Prowess. Pretty good. Hecma Sentinels. 2 and a blue for 2/3. Whenever you cycle, discard a card, gets +1/+1 till end of turn. Wanderer in Death. So 2 and a black. Return up to 2 cards, 2 creature cards from your graveyard to your hand, cycling 2. Good card in limited. Very good, especially because you can just cycle it away. Spidery Grasp. Untapped target creature gets +2/+4 and gains reach till end of turn for green and 2. Cartouche of Strength. This is the second cartouche of strength we have. So interesting. Impeccable Timing. 1 and a white. Deals 3 damage to target attacking or blocking creature. Solid removal. Dissenter's Deliverance. More artifact removal with cycling for green. Hyena Pack. 2 and 2 red for 3/4. Hyena. Time to Reflect. We're in the uncommons now. 1 white. Exile target creature that blocked or was blocked by a zombie this turn. Had this used on me a couple of times, and when it is in the right scenario, it's incredibly, incredibly effective. Have you seen this card in action before?
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. It's great.
Annoying as all heck. Angler Drake, 4/4 flying for 2 blue and 4. When Angler Drake enters the battlefield, you may return target creature to its owner's hand. So you get to bounce something, 4/4 flyer for 6. Seems pretty solid. Good, solid, long-term blue flyer. We have Honored Crop Captain for white and red. 3/2. When it attacks, other attacking creatures get +1/+0 till end of turn. This goes very well with Oketra's Monument, pumping out those warriors and swinging in for lots and lots and lots of damage.
Now, isn't that card also the flavor one in that... isn't that poor honor crop guy the one who gets sacrificed by his friend in that other card that makes you sacrifice a creature at the beginning of every turn?
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh my god, this card, I'm going to pull it up while you keep... Oh, Cruel Reality. Cruel Reality.
What does that do?
Enchant player. At the beginning, it's a mythic. At the beginning of Enchanted Player's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature or Planeswalker. If the player can't, he or she loses 5 life.
Ouch. That is savage.
Yeah, I pulled that on one of my first things. Yeah, it's pretty brutal. You do that in with the that other one that makes you gain a license, someone else lose a life whenever they cast a creature, you pretty much just end it. But I think that Honor Crop Captain in the flavor piece is the one, yeah, his friend in this art is like drowning him in front of Gideon. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm having a blast actually listening to the story. I love listening to the Magic storyline and the way that this city operates with all the young people just training to fight, and that's all they do. I think this plane is fascinating. It is super, super awesome, and I cannot wait to see what happens when Bolas comes back and how it all unfolds. So Honored Crop Captain, pretty good. And the rare is Hazoret's Favor for 2 and a red. At the beginning, it's an enchantment. At the beginning of combat on your turn, you may have target creature you control get +2/+0 and gain haste until end of turn. If you do, sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. You have to have the correct deck for this, it seems, because sacrificing creatures is always problematic unless you have the correct deck for it. Seems like it would be good with Oketra's Monument, though. You get the 1/1, give it +2/+0, haste, then you have to sacrifice at the end of turn. So, so Hazoret's Favor, second rare here, and then a basic forest. Oh, we have Aven Initiate, the embalmed token. That looks pretty cool.
Nice.
They must use bleach on these wrappings. They are so incredibly bright white. So we have another Winged Shepherd. 3/3 flying vigilance, cycling, illusionary wrappings. Ooh, similar to the first pack. Pathmaker Initiate, Mighty Leap. This is like exactly the same. Oh, Blighted Bat, which is 2/1 for a black and 2 flying. Tap 1, gains haste till end of turn.
That's a great card.
It is.
That's good for your E.
Yeah, right? That is an E card. That's perfect. Great example. Haze of Pollen. 1 and a green. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn with cycling 3. Hooded Brawler. It's green and 2 for a 3/2 Naga Warrior. You may exert it. When you do, it gets +2/+2 till end of turn. So a 5/4 for 3 exerted. Seems pretty solid. River Serpent, 2/5 for a 5/5. Can't attack unless there are five or more cards in your graveyard. Cycling for a blue. Seems good.
That's a great card in the blue-black cycling deck.
Yes, definitely seems like it. I mean, the efficiency of the 1 blue for cycling and then the staying power of a 5/5 for 6 is huge.
Yeah.
And it can block, too, which is awesome. I mean, it just can't attack unless there are 5 or more cards in your graveyard. But like,
yeah, you said, but if you're in the cycling archetype, you're almost certainly going to have 5 cards in your graveyard by the time it comes down.
Right. Now that makes all the sense in the world. Unwavering Initiate, 2 and a white for 3/2 vigilance, embalm for 4 and a white. Pretty solid. Sunscorched Desert. It's a land desert. When it enters the battlefield, deals 1 damage to target player. Tap to add colorless to your mana pool. Did you ever see these or play with these?
I'm sorry, which one was that?
The Sunscorched Desert, the land that'll do a damage when it enters.
Oh, yes. I actually use that several times. That one in particular, yes. I use it all the time.
And you liked it? Okay.
Yeah, it absolutely did. I mean, if you had had one of those after you did 19 points of damage to a guy, you would have won the game.
Why you got to bring up the past, man? Why?
Because I'm just going to pour salt in this wound. I'm just going to hit it all the time. You've demonstrated the importance of doing all the damage you can whenever you can.
Right. Saltiness intensifies. Okay, so we have Cryptic Serpent. 2/5 for a 6/5, costs 1 less to cast for each instant of sorcery card in your graveyard. In the right deck, seems good. That blue-black cycling deck, perhaps, potentially could cost you 2 mana for a 6/5. Seems good. We have Trial of Strength. That was uncommon. That last one, we're in the uncommons now. Trial of Strength is 1 green and 2 for a when Trial of Strength enters the battlefield, create a 4/2 green beast creature token. When Cartouche enters the battlefield under your control, return Trial of Strength to its owner's hand. I could get behind this.
I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
Cartouche. Right? 3 mana for a 4/2 green beast seems good. I mean, and we already have two of the cartouche of strength, so that is that's possible. Oh, I didn't notice the cartouche of strength cost 3. I thought the I'm used to cartouches costing like 1 because of the red, but that definitely is a good combo. Bounce it, get yourself some beasts. We have another honored crop captain. So we're in the market for some aggro here, some red and white. Then we have Fetid Pools, the blue-black cycling land. I'm so glad I'm getting at least one of these cycling lands. That is pretty nice. And then a basic mountain. So interesting. So far we've got our, I would still say, our bombiest card is probably that Oketra's Monument. It's looking like maybe white and green are our strongest colors so far. But we've got plenty of packs to go. Let's see where this takes us. Guess what the first card is? It is a cartouche. Cartouche of Knowledge. Enchant creature you control enters the battlefield. When it enters the battlefield, draw a card. Enchant creature gets +1/+1 and it's flying. Brute Strength. Target creature gets +3/+1. Trample till end of turn. Sacred Cat. 1 white for a 1/1 lifelink. Embalm for a white. Cancel. 2 blue and and 1. Counter target spell. Initiates companion. Green and 1. 3/1. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, untap target creature or land. I've had this used against me, and it is not fun after you get hit with it, watching your opponent untap something. Not fun at all. the Pitiful Pitiless Vizier. Unwavering Initiate again. Final Reward. Black and 4. Exile target creature. Instant. This seems like very solid removal. Unconditional black instant speed removal. Very good. Winds of Rebuke. 2/1. Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Each player puts top 2 cards of his or her library in his or her graveyard. Very meh. Binding Mummy. Saw that one earlier. Labyrinth Guardian. First uncommon. 2/3 for a 2/1. When it becomes a target of a spell, sacrifice it. Embalm for 3 and a blue. So you got your 2 mana, 2/3. You have you seen this card in action before?
I haven't. I actually just had to look it up right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, it's a cheap 2/3, which is pretty cool. And a lot of times in limited, your opponents are going to be trying to further their own board state than handle your guys. So it seems like a very good tempo card to play.
It is. And Embalm is nothing to laugh at. Like, it is a very serious mechanic that basically doubles your deck.
Exactly. And plus with that Binding Mummy, whenever a zombie enters the battlefield, you can tap an artifact or a creature. That seems pretty pretty strong. Grim Strider, a black and 3 for a 6/6. So 4 mana for a 6/6. Grim Strider gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand. This guy seems like he'd be friends with Hazoret. sort of aggressive red, maybe black deck. Seems pretty good. Lay Claim. 2/5 for an enchantment aura. Enchant permanent. You control enchanted permanent. Cycling 2. I like this card. I think this card is expensive to play, but can be extremely useful in the late game.
Indeed.
Then we have Oketra the True.
No way!
A white and 3 for a legendary creature, God. 3/6, double strike, indestructible. Oketra the True can't attack or block unless you control at least 3 other creatures. 3 and a white, create a 1/1 white warrior creature token with vigilance. I think we're going to be moving in the direction of white for this deck.
Yeah, here. Yeah, definitely. This Oketra is like the best god.
She is extremely useful, pumping out tokens like there's no tomorrow. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we have here, we have 2 more packs, I believe. So, Cardouche of Zeal.
Yes.
1 red enchant creature you control enters the battlefield. Target creature can't block this turn. Gives it +1/+1 and haste. For 1 red, that is very solid. I like that.
Yeah.
Sparring Mummy. Whenever Sparring Mummy enters the battlefield, untap target creature. It's a 3/3 for a white and 3. Hecma Sentinels. Saw that already. Manticore of the Gauntlet. When Manticore of the Gauntlet enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature you control. Manticore of the Gauntlet deals 3 damage to target opponent. It is a 5/4 for one red and four. So five mana for a 5/4 that puts a negative one counter and then does three damage to your opponent. I tried playing this card. Seems pretty solid. Ended up taking it out because it was just a little too expensive for what I was trying to do. But hindsight, probably should have left him in. He's a pretty big, bomby creature. Initiate's Companion. You got your cat that'll untap stuff. Dune Beetle. We talked about that already. Hooded Brawler. Another one of those. River Serpent. Another one of those. Compulsory Rest. One and a white for an aura enchantment. Enchanted creature can't attack or block. Enchanted creature has tap two. Sacrifice this creature. You gain two life. This was actually put on my Minotaur that had the ability tap two, discard a card to put a negative one counter on a creature, which was very good because I could continue to use his ability even though he couldn't attack or block. In fact, I think that was the time when I was going after that Glorybringer trying to take it down. But anyway, Sunscorched Desert, again, damaging land, uncommons. Battlefield Scavenger, one and a red for a 2/2 Jackal Rogue. You may exert Battlefield Scavenger as it attacks. Whenever you exert a creature, you may discard a card. If you do, draw a card. Ooh, so you can loot, or I'm sorry, you can rummage every time you exert something. That seems seems pretty useful. And a 2/2 for two, not bad, not bad at all. Open into Wonder. X and blue. X target creatures can't be blocked this turn. Until end of turn, those creatures gain. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. I love that ability. I like this card. Seems really, really good. Talk about evasion. You know, that's plain and simple. Another lay claim, so we can gain control of all of the permanents. And then we have an Honored Hydra. 6/6 for a green and 5. Trample. Has embalm 4. So if you can get this thing in your graveyard, you can embalm it 4 mana for a 6/6 trample. Seems pretty darn good. Other than that, it is a 6/6 for 6 trample. So I don't know if you...
Nice.
Would you consider that a bomb? Like a bomb? A bomb? A B-O-M-B?
I mean, how much does it cost again?
It's 6 mana, 5 and a green for a 6/6 trample.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's balmy, but it's expensive. It's super expensive. Like, yeah. I like to see. I mean, yeah, I mean, I would probably put that in if we were going green. Though it sounds probably more like we might be a little more in the red white kind of direction here. But,
yeah, that's interesting. And then we got a zombie Tawcrop Skirmisher token. Yeah, I don't know. Red seems strong, green seems strong, and white seems strong. So, but we don't have much in the way of mana fixing. So we'll see. We'll see where we go. Okay. Last pack. Here we go.
I mean, it's just with Oketra. That screams the aggro direction to
me. This is true. This is very true. Okay. So Retcrop Spearmaster. It's a 3/1 for a white and 2. You may exert Retcrop Spearmaster as it attacks. When you do, it gets +1/+1, gains first strike till end of turn. So exertable, first strike, little buff. Hieroglyphic Illumination. Blue and 3, draw 2 cards. Instant. Cycling for a blue. Pretty good. I like Glimmer of Genius better still, but obviously we're not in Kaladesh. Fling. 1 and a red. This is additional cost to cast Fling. Sacrifice creature deals damage equal to that. Sorry, Fling deals damage equal to the sacrifice creature's power to target creature player. Mighty Leap. Got another one of that. Miasmic Mummy for a black.
Oh my god, that card is awesome.
It is, yes. I've had this played on me and it is rough. Black and 1 for a 2/2 zombie jackal. When it enters the battlefield, each player discards a card. So you play this, put your Honored Hydra in the graveyard, and then cast a 6/6 for 4. There you go.
Yep. Yep. You got pretty it much.
Giant Spider, real old school, 2/4 for a green and 3 with reach. Big old spider. Cartouche of Strength. This is the third Cartouche of Strength that we have. Holy crap. Then we have Impeccable Timing, good removal. Dissenter's Deliverance, artifact removal with cycling. Splendid Agony, distribute 2 -1/-1 counters among 1 or 2 target creatures. This is the one you were mentioning before.
Right.
It does not have cycling. I must correct myself. I think I said that earlier, but it does not have cycling. Okay, Flame Blade Adept. 1 red, 1/2 menace. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, Flameblade Adept gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Protection of the Hekma. If a source an opponent controls would deal damage to you, prevent one of that damage for 4W. We get a Shefet Monitor, 6/5 for 5 and a green, cycling 4. When you cycle Shefet Monitor, you may search your library for a basic land card or a desert card, put it on the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Interesting. And our rare is Plague Belcher. It is a 5/4 for 2 and a black with menace. When Plague Belcher enters the battlefield, put 2 -1/-1 counters on target creature you control. Whenever another zombie you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life. 3 mana for a 5/4 menace. That seems pretty good. In fact, that seems really good. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think our black is strong enough to actually, get there.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right. So, definitely thinking Oketra. I mean, it is a god. We've got her monument. So we're definitely in white.
Yes.
And you mentioned red because we do have the honored crop captains.
We do. And we've got some solid stuff in red as well, right? I mean, the cartoon is also nothing to laugh at on the red side.
True.
And the red white aggro, do we have any kind of exert stuff in there?
We have
not a lot.
Yeah, not on the red side. The white side, I remember we had the exert to give it +1/+0 and first strike. And that seems to be about it.
Do we have any hasty stuff?
The hasty stuff, if we go red, we can use that enchantment, Hazoret's Favor, but you give the creature +2/+0 haste, and then you sacrifice it at the end of turn.
Right, right.
So,
well, if there's some we have a few embalm cards, do we not?
We do. We do.
So that works. That works well, really well with embalm.
Yes, that is true. Just looking through the white here, we have the Unwavering Initiate, a couple of those. Sacred Cat. So we got some embalming there. And let's not discount the fact that we do have two Winged Shepherds, which are 3/3 flying vigilance. They do cost 6, but 3/3 flyers are always good.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. And then we do have Time to Reflect. So if we are embalming with creatures and we're blocking, we can exile some creatures there. And then just to go back and look at the green, because we did have some strong stuff in green, that Trial of Strength to create the beast, cartouches can bring it back to your hand. Exemplar of Strength, going to be a 4/4 for 2 if we put the counter somewhere else. And then we have the Honored Hydra as well. And then, yeah, the 3 cartouches. I don't know. This is tough. So definitely going white. Oketra and the monument. I'm thinking you might be onto something with the red white.
This deck seems super aggro. It seems super aggro.
Right. Okay. So we'd go with those, the honored crop captains. Then let's just throw in the Flameblade Adept, the Cartouche of Zeal. I like the Nimble Blade Kenra, the 1/3 prowess. Let's see here. What other aggro creatures do we have in red here? We've got our bomb with Oketra. I'm going to throw Fling in there. That's some pretty decent removal. Brute Strength, I'm kind of on the fence about because it gives the +3/+1 and trample. So we can sort of hold off on that first. We're going aggro, so I like the Sacred Cat. That's good with the embalm. Unwavering Initiates, those are good with embalm. Impeccable Timing, excellent removal. So we can throw those in. Then we get ourselves the Binding Mummies. Those are pretty darn awesome for just 2 mana. And then when we get the zombies out, we get to tap the creatures. I'm going to hold off on the Winged Shepherds for now. What do you think about Retcrop Spearmaster? The 3/1 that you can exert to give the first strike to.
What's his name again?
Retcrop. There's a hyphen in there. Spearmaster.
Rhett Crop.
R-H-E-T. Yes.
Got it. Let me take a look at him here.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, so we've got 15 so far that are making up this deck. I'm going to go throw Hazard's Favor in there. Seems pretty good with with the Monument.
I like the Spearmaster. I think it's a great card. It's cheap.
Okay.
And it's powerful. Yeah, they can deal with pretty much any threat or cause some serious early game damage.
Okay, awesome. We'll throw in the Compulsory Rest for a good little bit of removal there.
I love that card. I love the flavor on that card.
Yeah, that card is pretty good. And just on the basis of aggro, I guess we could throw in the Battlefield Scavenger, the red 2/2 for two. When you can exert it, anytime you exert anything, you get to rummage. Seems pretty decent. What do you think about Pathmaker Initiate? 2/1 for a red and one. Tap target creature with power 2 or less. Can't be blocked this turn.
I like it. I like it. I think it's a good one.
We have two.
We talked about it. Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Super aggro.
Yeah, it is. And then what do you think about Manticore of the Gauntlet? That 5/4 for 4 and a red. When it enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature you control. Manticore of the Gauntlet deals 3 damage to an opponent.
So I love this card. I played with it at my pre-release. I think it's really great.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I mean, 3 damage to target opponent. I mean, that's a lot.
And yes.
You can afford to put the counter either on this card itself, it's still then a 4/3, mm-hmm. or you can just, you know, dump it on something else if you happen to be in a counter direction.
Right, okay. So we have one more slot to bring us up to 23. That is if we're playing 17 lands. However, if it is an aggro deck...
I think that's fair.
If it's an aggro deck, so you may want to run 16 lands to give yourself an extra spell. But just looking at what else we have here to include with the red and the white, we could throw in Bontu's Monument to give the life drain for the spells that you cast, but we're not taking advantage of the black. Creature spells get cheaper. So other things that we're waiting on here, we have Winged Shepherd. I'm gonna throw one Winged Shepherd in there. That seems pretty good.
I think that's smart.
Yeah. And then we have we still have Time to Reflect, and we are going to be running some zombies, so that might actually work out pretty well. And then maybe, I mean, we have Brute Strength, which is the +3/+1 and trample till end of turn. And we have Sparring Mummy. And when it enters the battlefield, untap target creature.
Now, the Sparring Mummy is really good with our exert guys. The Rhett Crop?
Yes.
Guy.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. So then we will probably want to throw in the Mummy. And then we can leave the other ones in here for... sideboard purposes. Okay, so we'll just run through our deck here real quick, and then maybe sometime this week we might be able to... Do you still have your pre-release deck that you have?
I do. Okay. I do.
Maybe we could slam these against each other and see what happens.
Maybe we can.
So we have Oketra. We have Oketra's Monument. We have two Honored Crop Captains. We've got a Flameblade Adept. We've got a Nimble Blade Kenra. We have a Sacred Cat. Two Unwavering Initiates. We have two Binding Mummies. We've got a Rhett Crop Spearmaster. We've got a Winged Shepherd, a Sparring Mummy. Two Pathmaker Initiates. A Manticore of the Gauntlet. A Battlefield Scavenger. We have Hazoret's Favor. Compulsory Rest. Fling, Cartouche of Zeal, and two Impeccable Timings. And that will be our deck for now.
It's a winning combination.
Yes, I'll test it out a little bit, see how it goes, and then we might even be able to throw it up on stream for some people to see. So
it'll be fun.
Stand by for that, and that is it. That's the pre-release kit. So awesome. This is fun. Thanks for running through this with me. This is something that we might be able to do more often.
And, yeah, I think this is fun. Limited is such a fun format. It's my favorite by far.
It really is, and I need to get better at it. I'll admit
yes,
it.
Yes, indeed.
I am not that good at it. Oh, and we got one of these punch cards, too, with all the little bricks and the negatives.
Oh, my God. Those things were all over the floor at this store during our pre-release.
Oh, there you go.
I do not envy the shop owners.
Right. Fun times playing cleanup after all that.
I know.
So, all right.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, I think that'll do it for us this week on our episode. And unless you have anything else you want to add. So we are the Win Condition. You can find us at Team Win Condition on Twitch.
We are Team Win Condition on Instagram. We are Team Win Condition on Facebook.
And we are at The Win Condition on Twitter. So individually, I am at MTG_Sean.
And I am at Admiral O'Dog.
Wonderful.
Oh, we are The Win Condition on Facebook.
We are The Win Condition on
Facebook. We are The Win Condition on Facebook. Facebook and Twitter, The Win Condition. Instagram and Twitch, Team Win Condition.
Perfect. And my phone number is... No, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right. Yes, we have a significant branding problem.
Yeah, exactly. We'll iron all this out in the weeks to come. But anyway, well, hope you all enjoy opening up your Amon Ket and welcoming this new standard into our wonderful lives. Oh, we didn't even talk about the stupidest thing Wizards could have possibly done, and that is banning Felidar Guardian. I hate it.
Yeah, I'm glad that happened.
I absolutely hate it. Well, what I would say is they should have banned Saheeli. She was doing nothing before. She's going to do nothing now. And Felidar Guardian actually had some interesting interactions with some of these new cards. I am not a fan. I mean, aside from the fact that I was playing four color Saheeli, I am incredibly bitter.
Yeah, screw Felidar Guardian. I'm glad it's dead.
Oh, God. Get out of here.
I will. I am going to get out of here. I'm getting off.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye. And we are recording.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, I completely blanked on how I usually start these things. Oh, that's right.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Yeah, right. Okay, all right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.